Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Let's ride.
Time for the words that are recited before each and every game here at Dodger Stadium. Take it away, Finn.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
What is going on, Dodger fans? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Incline Dodgers podcast. We are presented by Tick Pick and Fansided. This is Kevin Klein speaking, and your Los Angeles Dodgers are coming off a really impressive sweep of the San Francisco Giants. Going into this series, I did have a little bit of nerves because the Giants and Dodgers are always a dogfight. The Giants always seem to steal, you know, at least one or two games early on in the season, but the Dodgers took care of business. They own those suckers up in San Francisco, and the Dodgers are commanding the division early on. They're 7-2. They have the day off today. The weather kind of sucks. That's why I'm doing a live stream. So, of course, I want to be interactive. If you have questions, comments, early feelings about the Los Angeles Dodgers, or anything around Major League Baseball, feel free to drop your questions below in the chat. We're going to have some fun here for the next 40 minutes or so. There are some fun topics, of course, to cover as I wait for people to start to tune in. But yeah, your Los Angeles Dodgers have been playing great. Tyler Glasnow recently threw the ball against the Giants, looked great once again, threw a quality start, 7 strikeouts across 6 innings, gave up 3 runs, but overall still looking like a really impressive pitcher over the first 3 starts of his Dodgers tenure. We got to see James Paxton make his Dodgers debut, a little bit wild, had some walks, but at the end of the day, he threw 5 scoreless innings and recorded some strikeouts. I was really impressed with James Paxton. I loved the velocity coming out of his arm. And then, we talked about Glasnow, James Paxton, and then we had a bullpen game. Already this early in the season, the Dodgers throwing out bullpen games, even though, you know, it kind of was basically a start mixed in with the bullpen game. Ryan Brazier opened it up, but Ryan Yarbrough pitched relatively well. He held his own. Michael Grove got to throw in a couple innings as well, some high leverage, and Evan Phillips recorded a save in the most recent game. We'll get to the big moment in just a second, but how about Dinelson Lamet, non-roster invite? Dave Roberts with some big balls already this early on in the season threw Lamet in a high leverage save situation, and he looked good. 1-2-3 inning, 2 strikeouts, had the Giants fooled, and of course was throwing some good velocity too. The prior lab working out for Lamet I think he hit 94, 95. Let's see what's going on in the chat. What's up, Michael Carrillo? Thank you for always tuning in as well. As always, Maria G, the homie, we're playing the Chicago Cubs next. MWG, looks like you've got a question, so let's get to that in a couple minutes. Steve Moore, I am solo today. Everyone's busy. I just want to have some fun. The weather sucks. Let's talk some Dodgers. Let's talk some Shohei Ohtani and all that fun shenanigans. Trey B talking Tanner Scott. Would love to see it. He's an excellent high-leverage lefty reliever. Dennis Gonzalez, good evening to you as well. Thank you for tuning in as always. I think I got everybody. If I didn't, that's on me. Okay, well, MWG, what would you have done if they refused to authenticate the ball you caught? Ohtani home run ball. That's a good way to begin this segment. And finally, we've been anticipating it for days. Shohei Ohtani connected for his first Dodgers home run, and it was a thing of beauty. 430 feet, 106 exit velocity. A lucky fan caught that ball. More on that in just a second. His first home run as a Dodger off Taylor Rogers, the lefty. And I just want to throw this stat out there. For those who think the Dodgers can't hit left-handed pitching this season, they're actually hitting 295 so far with an 897 OPS. It's guys like Teoscar Hernandez, who already has four home runs, Mookie Betts, Will Smith, Miguel Rojas has two home runs himself. He only had five all of last season, and already it's April 4th. Miguel Rojas has found a power surge. He has two home runs. He's got more home runs than Shohei Ohtani and Freddie Freeman combined. But if this is the Miguel Rojas we're going to see for the foreseeable future, that would be freaking sweet. But so far, he's looked a lot better than he did last season. It is night and day. The fan caught the ball, and it was an all-time fleece. Let's be real. According to reports, she was escorted by security immediately. I assume it's to, one, authenticate the baseball, but in addition, of course, the negotiating tactics begin. That ball is going directly to Shohei Ohtani. I think I saw an LA Times reporter post that Ohtani's first ever MLB home run is valued at $15,000 right now. But this was USA fleecing Russia for Alaska territory, because she ended up with just a signed baseball, two signed hats, and a signed bat. That is remarkably a fleece. She got robbed big time, like pants down, blindfolded, gun to her head. If I was in that position, I would have asked for way more than any of that. I mean, I don't even want a signed bat. Like, what are you going to do with a signed bat hanging on the wall? Boring. But I mean, my wall doesn't have much going on, so I guess that would have been a nice addition. And hats, who gives a shit about hats? If I was in that position, first of all, I would say, one, you got to sign a contract that you're coming on to this podcast as a guest. I guess we'd have to bring Will Ironton too, because we need a translator. Second of all, I want some substance. I want some cash value substance. I want some box seats. I want playoff tickets. I want behind home plate. And of course, I want some money. If Shohei Ohtani's got a $700 million contract, well, then I expect to be compensated at least somewhat. I'm not going to ask for a lot. I'll do it for $5,000. Like, honestly, just give me something. A couple months of salary, anything. But no, this fan, that was bad. She got straight up fleeced. I kind of feel bad for her. I mean, it's exciting in the moment until you realize you're going to have to give up that baseball, because there was no way in hell she was leaving that stadium, I think, without Shohei Ohtani getting that baseball. But I mean, this was basically entrapment for her. Some of the articles detail that she was in attendance with her husband, and the security was pretty aggressive and immediately separated her from her husband and maybe other attendees to break her down and get this deal done. From her perspective, she seems stoked about it, but I'm sure in hindsight, she's probably regretting this, but pretty bad. But yeah, anyways, finally, the monkey's off. Shohei Ohtani's back because he connected for his first home run. We talked about it a few days ago. We felt like he was pressing. Even Shohei Ohtani looked very relieved to get that first one out of the way. Teoscar Hernandez threw some sunflower seeds as he was coming back into the dugout. I don't know how I feel about getting sunflower seeds thrown into my face. That's a little kind of disgusting and tacky, in my opinion. But hey, I feel like the Dodgers still need to work on some type of epic home run celebration. And so far, we just really don't have that this season. But yeah, at least Ohtani hit his first home run as a Dodger. More to come, I'm sure of it. And I'm glad I came off a lefty. And I'm glad I came off one of those Rogers brothers, because I'm going to be honest, those Rogers, more Tyler, but they both annoy me. There's a lot of players on the Giants that really do get under my skin. Jorge Soler was a beast in that series. I think he connected for two home runs. Patrick Bailey, looking like the second coming of Buster Posey, he hit a home run, and he seems to be their catcher because Joey Bart, one of the biggest all-time busts, was drafted second overall and was touted to be the next Buster Posey. Got traded to the Pittsburgh Pirates after he was DFA'd. But yeah, this Giants team, solid overall. I think they did a really good job of containing Matt Chapman. Lee got on base a few times, but overall he wasn't a big threat. And we destroyed Logan Webb. This is a guy that was runner-up in the Cy Young Award voting last season. Dodgers torched him for five runs. Kike Hernandez had a big two-run base hit off him. Gavin Lux drove in the go-ahead run before Kike. Yeah, but the Dodgers looked really good. They really made those Giants pitchers work, especially getting to a good pitcher like Logan Webb. So that's definitely reassuring. Let's see what we've got going on. Maria G, of course, getting later into the segments I want to talk about. But the Dodgers do play the Chicago Cubs next. There are some revenge narratives going on. Michael Busch, now a Chicago Cub, we may get to see him facing the Los Angeles Dodgers. Of course, Cody Bellinger, who was with the Dodgers for quite some time until they non-tendered him. First year with the Cubs last season, second year now after that mini Boris got robbed or failed, epic failure, asking for $250 million for Cody Bellinger. And I think Cody Bellinger only got 3 years, $80 million or something. He killed the Dodgers last year, though. Cody Bellinger definitely had our number. Do I think we're going to give up a home run to Cody Bellinger, though? Well, we've got Bobby Miller, Yamamoto, and Gavin Stone as our starters. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say they figured it out. I think they're going to contain Cody Bellinger in this series. Trey B, Outman is okay. Can't help it that he's hitting the ball hard at people. Yeah, I mean, James Outman is just running into some bad luck. He is hitting the ball hard. He is also striking out a lot. I still think it is too early to panic on James Outman, though. This is a really talented center fielder, and the Dodgers are in a luxurious position right now where they don't need him to produce because everyone else, for the most part, is really getting the job done. Later on in the season, this could become a talking point because at a certain point, you need everybody to step up as we get into a pennant race because you never know who's going to go cold in the postseason. We just saw it last season with Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman. They were non-factors. But yeah, at some point, James Outman is going to have to step up. But for now, let's let it play out. Give him at least another month at a minimum. And at the end of May, early June, then we can start to have that conversation. Do they have to go with Andy Páez, who I think is going to be an exceptional player for the Dodgers? Maybe Taylor Trammell, who they recently acquired, maybe he catches lightning in a bottle and pulls a Trace Thompson. I don't know, but Trammell was a very highly touted prospect and I believe an early draft pick and has been traded around quite a bit. But now he's with the Dodgers as Jason Hayward is currently on the injured list. So we'll see what they do with Trammell. He's got at least 12 days or so to make some type of impression with the Dodgers. I'm scrolling through the chat. What is up, Daniel Berry Sports Highlights? Another question coming from Maria G. Kevin, when will you be going to a Dodger game this year, and are you visiting any other parks? That's a great question, Maria. My first game currently as scheduled, I'm going to be going to Dodgers Mets on April 20th. I believe that is Walker Buehler bobblehead night as well. Did not plan that part. It just happened to be announced after the fact when I received those tickets. And I will tease that if I do get two Walker Buehler bobbleheads, I will be doing a Walker Buehler giveaway. That's right, free, no charge. The details to come on how to win that Walker Buehler bobblehead. But that is hopefully something that's coming down the pipeline really soon. I'm also going to be going to Dodgers Rangers on Yoshinobu Yamamoto bobblehead night. That one I had planned. I really want to get one of those Yamamoto bobbleheads. And if I'm lucky enough, I might have an extra Yamamoto bobblehead as well. And that could be a second big giveaway. But again, that will require some patience because that's not till June. And I really want, and it's great that they're playing the Texas Rangers because they're the World Series champions. And Corey Seager will hopefully be at Dodger Stadium. And I really want to see his Dodgers homecoming. A lot of shade's been thrown at Corey Seager, some saying that he didn't like being in Los Angeles. I don't really buy into that narrative. In terms of will I be visiting any other parks this season, I don't think so. I am going to Philadelphia, but the Dodgers come into town literally 2 days after I leave, unfortunately. And maybe I'll go to Petco. I don't know if the Padres are trash. Maybe the tickets, those World Series tickets will be cheaper. I could catch a game there. No plans to go to the Bay Area this year. Angel Stadium's honestly one of my least favorite ballparks in all of Major League Baseball. I do not enjoy going to Anaheim. I have no desire to go to Arizona this year either. I did Chase Field last year, and I feel like it's also a pretty dumpy stadium. It's definitely on the decline. They need a better baseball field and park out there in Phoenix because Chase Field is trash. Just going to say that. I like that comment from CB. At least Zach Hample didn't catch the ball. Thank goodness. That guy is just really obnoxious. Let's see what else we've got.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Over under on Sanchez innings pitch this year. Well, CB, I'm going to need you to be more specific because who is Sanchez? Someone in the chat, help me out. Who are we referring to as Sanchez? Am I just having a brain fart here? So I'll wait on that. But yeah, I think it looks like Michael's with me. Chase Field is fine. It's not great. It's just okay. That's exactly what it is. It's just a very pedestrian ballpark. I haven't been to all the major league parks, so I couldn't really tell you who has the worst stadium out there. I've heard Tampa is bad. I've heard Oakland is bad. And since I am throwing out their name right now, I think I'm in the minority. I'm kind of stoked to see the Athletics play three seasons in Sacramento because one, I feel like they're upgrading ballparks just by an automatic. I mean, the Oakland Coliseum is a dumpster. At least Sacramento is an upgrade, one, city-wise, and two, it looks like the stadium's nicer with better views. And I don't empathize with their ownership because I think Fisher is an asshole himself, but I do think the Athletics going to Las Vegas is much better for Major League Baseball. Maybe that's a hot take. I don't know, but I feel like the Raiders are doing just fine out there. I feel like the Golden Knights are killing it in Las Vegas. I think Major League Baseball belongs in Las Vegas more in the year 2024 than it does in Oakland because Oakland. Nick Ramirez. Okay, now I know who we're talking about. Yeah, the Dodgers traded for Nick Ramirez recently from the New York Yankees because he was DFA'd. He's a lefty. I believe he's 34 years of age, had a respectable mid-2 ERA last season. For his career, Ramirez has an ERA in the fours. The over-under on innings pitched, though, I'll go with 15. Because I don't think he's going to have many appearances with the Dodgers. It's going to have to take some type of injury, I think, for Ramirez to find his way with the Los Angeles Dodgers. I mean, who are we going to send down? Ryan Yarbrough's been a solid lefty, and he provides length out of the pen. So he's not going anywhere currently. Alex Vesia is their guy, so they're not going to depart with Alex Vesia. They sent down Kyle Hurt, who, from what I understand, is already killing it down in AAA. Leads, I think, all of the PCL and whiffs because he had like 14 or something in one game. So it's pretty disturbing to me that an excellent pitcher like Kyle Hurt is just wasting his time in AAA when he's actually good enough to be at the big league level, unlike a Miguel Vargas, who's literally Barry Bonds right now in Oklahoma City. He's got like 3 home runs. But then the moment he comes up to big league pitching, he can't do anything. So that's frustrating. It's just another Michael Busch situation, I guess. But yeah, Kyle Hurt belongs up here. Definitely more than certain other pitchers whose names I won't say. Bruce Stark-Gradwell is on the 60-day IL. I think he's expected to return hopefully in mid-May. That'd be pretty ideal. Blake Treinen still recovering as well, but they're going to have Treinen back on. But yeah, I mean, Brazier's not going anywhere. Daniel Hudson's looked great overall. So I don't really see a clear path unless there's a couple injuries for Ramirez to find his way onto this Dodgers roster. Michael thinks that the A's aren't going to move to Vegas. That deal is going to fall through. I disagree. I just don't see how it doesn't happen at this point. The Tropicana is going bye-bye. They've got really cool blueprints with this stadium kind of looking like Sydney Opera House. I did hear in some YouTube vlog unrelated to baseball that there are concerns that this stadium could interfere with the Las Vegas International Airport. So they're still working out those logistics. From a funding standpoint, though, I just don't see it falling through. Gabriel Avila, why do you make a big deal about it? It's only one damn home run. The reason it's a big deal that Shohei Ohtani hit his first Dodgers home run is because it's just the fact that they gave this guy $700 million to be the face of the franchise. So, of course, it's a big deal. I mean, this is like any big superstar coming to any team. We're talking about a freaking Hall of Fame bat, first home run with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And if everything shapes out the way that it's intended to, Shohei Ohtani is going to go into the Hall of Fame as a Los Angeles Dodger. So you're going to see that number 17 up there in the rafters. You're going to see number 22. You're going to see number 50. And the jury is out on number 5 because I don't know if Freddie Freeman would go into the Hall as a Brave or a Dodger. My guess is an Atlanta Brave. But regardless, we are witnessing a number of future Hall of Famers suiting up for the Dodgers. So, of course, it's a big deal when Shohei Ohtani, who's bringing in tons of sponsors as well, they already got a Japanese airline, and then the tires today, Toyo tires, the endorsements and the money that's coming in for the Dodgers, it's just insane right now. So that's why Gabriel Avila. Yeah, Hurt had 14 whiffs in 2 innings, just absolutely insane. Maria G, preferred parking over general parking is so worth it. Well, I don't know how much preferred parking is these days. It seems like general parking is insane itself. Is it like $30 now to park at Dodger Stadium? Just a freaking ripoff. If anyone has tips on where to park that's cheaper, I might be willing to walk because it's just getting frustrating that parking is as much as Dodger tickets used to be, it feels like. Carlos Gomez, are you coming back to Texas? Nope. I really liked Austin, Texas, but I don't have any plans to go back there this year. I'm traveled out. I have some big trips lined up already, and I don't have the funds to do any more traveling to Texas. But I liked it there. Great barbecue. Tex-Mex sucked. Really disappointing, but yeah, Maybe in a couple years, I'll try to come back. Are the Angels making it to the playoffs? Because I already said it and I'm sticking to it. No, the Angels will not make the playoffs because they are bad. I don't care that they beat the Marlins in a 3 or 4 game series. The Miami Marlins are a laughingstock. The Miami Marlins might be the worst team in Major League Baseball. They literally punted the entire offseason. They gave no Fs at all. They did not try. They demoted Kim Ng. I don't know why they even bothered. I don't even know why they bothered trying to insult her by asking if she's willing to accept a demotion. To me, that just feels pretty sexist because I don't know all the details, but you ask to demote an executive that just assembled a roster good enough to get your team into the postseason, helped hire a manager that won manager of the year, and then you're trying to demote her. The Miami Marlins are going back to those 6,000 fans a day, 6,000 fans in the stands a day crowd because they're an awful franchise. They might be the most poorly ran franchise out there, which is saying a lot because the Angels exist. Dennis Gonzalez says those Toyo tires are good tires. I believe you. Honestly, I do believe you. I don't have Toyo tires. I think I have Firestone, but I'd have to double check what I have. I have a Toyota, so maybe I should get some Toyo tires to go with my Toyota. 35 for regular, 55 for preferred. That's just ridiculous. MWG, yeah. If Freddie wins some championships with the Dodgers, maybe they retire his jersey. We'll see. Clover update. Let's see. There he is. I'm sure you all see him. There's Clover. He's just chilling. Big Dodgers fan. He loves watching the games with me now. Straight up chilling. I think Clover's favorite player is Bobby Miller, but that's just my hunch. How long until Jazz Chisholm asks for a trade? Is Jazz Chisholm one of the most overrated superstars in the game? Because I don't get it. He's a very solid player, but he's not a superstar. And I feel like he was on the cover of MLB The Show, if I'm not mistaken. He's been on MLB Network. To answer the question, how long until he asks for a trade? Probably this offseason, if we're being quite real, because this guy's a competitor. He's willing to trash Miguel Rojas for some reason. And I feel like Miguel Rojas is having like his revenge body narrative going because, like I said 20 minutes ago, Miguel Rojas is on fire right now. He already has 2 home runs. I think Jazz Chisholm will get traded sooner rather than later because who wants to be on the Marlins? I mean, Miami is a beautiful city, and yet their franchise just gives no Fs. They just don't even care. What's the deal with Emmett Sheehan? Emmett Sheehan is also on the 60-day IL as he's recovering from that forearm soreness or whatnot. He is believed to be coming back in May as well. Sounds like this was kind of intentional for the Dodgers as they're trying to ramp him up because he missed all of spring training. And so he's going to tune up, rehab, all that fun stuff. And so I think the timeline just adds up where it makes sense to put him on the 60-day IL because they could make it retroactive to like March 20th or something. But with that being said, there is a caveat. I never trust the Dodgers with their injury announcements. They've completely lost my trust. So they tell you one thing and it ends up being 2 or 3 months longer. I thought the Gratterall injury was minor, but I had my suspicions that it was somewhat more major than they were leading it on. Now he's on the 60-day IL. Of course, they lied to us about Kershaw, Bueller, all that stuff. So I can't really say what's the true deal with Sheehan. I can only tell you what they report to us, but I do think it is a little worse than they're trying to lead us on because It's just bad when the Dodgers lie to us about the health of their players. D-backs won the trade with Zach Gallen. Oh yeah, 100%. Because if you think about it, I believe the Cardinals first traded Gallen to Miami in that Ozuna trade, And then the Marlins randomly just traded Arizona Gallen for Chisholm. Got absolutely fleeced there in Miami. Not as bad as the fan with the Ohtani ball, of course. That's still worse. But this is also pretty bad because you gave up a perennial Cy Young Award contender who just eats innings like crazy and is really good for Jazz Chisholm. I don't understand that, especially from the Marlins' perspective. And they've assembled some good pitchers, and they've also assembled some busts. Like, they got fleeced for JT Realmuto. Sixto Sanchez is like 80 pounds overweight and is bad, apparently, after he was supposed to be hyped up as one of the best prospects in baseball. Yuri Perez just got announced that he is getting Tommy John surgery. And can they attribute that to maybe calling him up at the bigs too early? I don't know, because I believe he's only 20 and he's already getting Tommy John surgery. That's a big blow. They literally ran Alcantara into the ground. He won the Cy Young, but they pitched him way too many freaking innings. And then the following season, he was just not the same. And then he's out with Tommy John. So whatever they're doing out there in Miami, it's a piss poor job. And if I was a pitcher out there, I'd be scared and running for the hills. Yeah, last year's show, MLB The Show. Thank you, Dennis. Michael Carrillo, I really want to see River Ryan this year. People in the know say he could be our George Kirby. If River Ryan can get healthy, because he is dealing with some shoulder issues, we don't know the severity of it, but I mean, of course, it kept him out of spring training, so that's a little alarming. But yeah, there's a lot of prospect experts that are really touting up River Ryan as a frontline pitcher. On most staffs, he could be a 3 or even a 2 because he's just that good. His velocity can get up into triple digits as well. This is really a big breakout pitcher, and I believe they only had to give up that loser Matt Beatty to get him. But if River Ryan could get healthy, freaking would love to have him pitch for the Dodgers at some point this season. For now, our rotation is solid, and Buehler's coming back. We're going to get to see Bobby Miller come off that outstanding performance against the Cardinals where he had 11 strikeouts. Then we'll get to see Yamamoto, who's going to have his third outing with the Dodgers. He'll go to Chicago, and Gavin Stone getting his second start with the Dodgers. He looked good too. I do feel like Gavin Stone is underrated at this point, and he could be a staple at the big league level for most of the season. They probably will send him down at some point to manipulate his innings with Walker Buehler coming back. But I really do like what I'm seeing against Gavin Stone. He's going to face Shota Imanaga, so that should be a fun matchup. Imanaga does have the tendency to give up a lot of fly balls. So I feel like a Dodgers team that is very home run heavy, they've already got 14 home runs this season, they could feast off him. They're going to face Kyle Hendricks in the first game of the series. In the past, they've done relatively well against Kyle Hendricks, who throws like 85 miles per hour at this point. So I'm not too worried there. And Yamamoto faces Jordan Wicks. Wicks is a really up-and-coming, talented pitcher for them. Carlos Gomez, are you worried about many left-handed pitchers in the West against us? No, because I already read the stats. The Dodgers are hitting 295 right now against lefties, 897 OPS. I think they've recorded 6 home runs as well. As long as everyone's healthy, they've got the guys. I mean, Teoscar Hernandez is a lefty slugger. Having him in the lineup on a regular basis, that's astounding, outstanding. Will Smith, who's hitting like 400, as long as he keeps it up, that's another great right-handed bat. Mookie Betts, the hottest player in baseball, already has 5 home runs and an insane OPS. Another right-handed bat. So we have the guys that can hit left-handed pitching. So currently, no, I am not worried. And of course, we've got Chris Taylor, Kike Hernandez, and Miguel Rojas on the bench, all right-handed. So the Dodgers have assembled a team, at least on paper, that's prepared to face left-handed pitching. The biggest question and concern I have, though, is because they're going to probably see him a few times, hopefully not in the postseason, can they hit Blake Snell this time around? There's some new guys on the roster. I need to see them step up. I mean, mostly Teoscar. Hopefully he's our answer to Blake Snell, because that's the one left-handed pitcher that always just has our number. And it's freaking frustrating that we can't hit Blake Snell most of the time. I don't know what it is about him, but he just gives us a rough going. What's a series that you see the Dodgers losing? I assume this is regarding regular season. Honestly, if the Dodgers have a three-game series out there in Cincinnati, I feel like that's a series I could see us losing because for whatever reason, the Reds every so often just seem to have our number. They're very fast. I don't know if the Dodgers have assembled a team yet that can really contain. I don't know if the Dodgers have assembled a team yet that can really contain fast runners like De La Cruz, of course, and Jake Fraley's fast. They have just have a lot of speedsters on the base paths. The Reds are a sneaky team. The Pirates are playing good baseball right now. There's been series for whatever reason where the Dodgers struggle against them. But, of course, the Braves, who are the best team besides us in the National League, they could give us a tough go. I am really curious to see if the Dodgers face Chris Sale this go-around, how we're going to look against him, because he's kind of like a Blake Snell type of pitcher, high velocity, really good slider. So Atlanta Braves is another team that will be really intriguing for me personally. So, yeah, while everyone is here, if you're not subscribing to the podcast yet or the audio feed, hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button as well while you're here. We're going to hang out for another 15 minutes or so. I want to make sure I get to everyone's questions or comments. It doesn't even have to be baseball. If you want me to answer some type of random question, totally open for it. So let's have some fun. Weather sucks. It's 7 o'clock. We're just here to talk some Dodgers baseball and whatever else you guys want for now. Dennis Gonzalez, I like this comment. Didn't help the Marlins that they had Mattingly as a manager for a while. No, it did not. Don Mattingly sucks. I don't know how he won a manager of the year in Miami. I guess it was the 60-game shortened season, but Don Mattingly is the worst Dodgers manager of all time, in my opinion, and I will die on that hill. Nobody had more talent and did nothing with it. I mean, you could argue one other manager whose name I won't bring up that's currently employed by the Dodgers, but Don Mattingly comes fairly close because they rolled out all these $300 million payrolls. They won one playoff series in those three playoff years that Mattingly was tenured. We lost to a very mediocre Mets team in the 2015 NLDS. We lost to the Cardinals, who weren't that good in 2014. And then, of course, in 2013, we just did not look prepared for that Cardinals team. And, of course, the Hanley rib incident really screwed us as well. And I don't even remember any of those Dodgers teams winning 100 games. And they shelled out a ton of money. And they had Pete Kershaw, Pete Greinke, and it all was for nothing. Don Mattingly can suck it. Awful. Your thoughts on the D-backs team store allegedly selling frame pictures of Kershaw getting lit up by the D-backs last postseason? Honestly, I'm cool with it because they beat him. They beat him fair and square. If they were like the Astros and they cheated and did that, then I'd have an issue with it because then you're flaunting being a despicable, dirty, trash can banging franchise. But the D-backs did make it to the World Series last season. They did destroy Clayton Kershaw. Whether we have to accept it or not, that is the facts. He gave up all those runs and only recorded one out. Kershaw is the best pitcher of this era. So for them, it is a kind of a glorious moment. So I get it. I'll allow it because it was all fair. We've crashed their pool many years ago. You got to win the games. If you want to avoid these things, you got to win the game. So unfortunately, that's just the way it is. I'm cool with it. Do you see the Dodgers cannibalizing themselves for MVP votes? Great question by CB. I feel like this almost happened last season when Ronald Acuna Jr. won the MVP and Mookie and Freddie were 2 and 3. I don't think it would end up happening though. For now, we got to see. It's really early in the season. We got to see what the front runners are going to look like for the MVP. But I mean, as it stands right now, Mookie Betts would be the MVP in the National League, in my opinion. And I don't think there's anyone even close to him on the Dodgers roster in the conversation. Things could obviously change though. Freddie Freeman catches on fire. If Shohei Ohtani catches on fire. So that's a good question, but to wait and see. Aaron Vaughn. Kevin, where's Jake? Anyway, do you think Lamet is here to stay? Jake is unavailable. I reached out to him. This was a very last minute show, so wasn't even a plan. That's why everyone gets a pass for not being here. I had some downtime. Said, screw it. Why not? Let's talk some Dodgers. Entertain you folks. There's no game today, so might as well do something for a little bit. Do I think Lamet is here to stay? Unfortunately, I do not. I really do like Lamet, though, and I thought he looked great in that save situation. Had the curveball working, had the velocity going for him, but it's a roster crunch. I don't think Lamet has minor league options either, but you could correct me if I'm wrong. So I do think if he got sent down, he probably would be a DFA and would have to be then unclaimed and outrighted to AAA. But it's a roster crunch, and that's just the facts. He could be here for a few more weeks, though, and hopefully we get the good Lamet, and he pulls like a – and I'm not talking about the injury part. I'm talking about on the field. He could be like a Jimmy Nelson, a guy that was once a starter, comes to the Dodgers and becomes a really solid reliever, or a Joe Blanton, something like that. I do think there is potential with Lamet. I thought it was a smart signing. I always was keen on the move. Someone that I had been keeping my eye out on for a couple years once the Padres decided to move on. But yeah, eventually I think he's going to run his course just because of that. But yeah, let's see. Once Trinan comes back, once Gratterall comes back, that's two spots. And I think just based off who's on the roster, Lamet and Grove would have to be casualties. This podcast was brought to you by TickPick. If you're looking to go to a Dodger game very soon, make sure to download the TickPick app. No service fees at checkout. There's not that many NBA games left either. If you're into the Lakers or Clippers, get some no service fee tickets. I think I'm going to have to sell some Blink-182 tickets on TickPick, unfortunately, because something's come up. I need some help figuring out what date I should see Blink-182. They are my favorite band. For those that didn't know that, I have a family trip now, actually the Philadelphia trip in July. My Blink-182 tickets were going to be in Petco on June 30th, but conflicts, unfortunately, I got to sell those tickets. I got to figure out where to see Blink-182. This is frustrating. This could be their last big tour, and this is me just going out on a tangent. But yeah, Roy Estrada, this is a great question. Is it time to go after Luzardo and Tanner Scott? That's a dream package right there. If the Dodgers could get Luzardo and Tanner Scott, what a holy grail package that would be. You add a really good lefty into your rotation who can strike people out, and you add Tanner Scott, a really excellent high-leverage left-handed reliever who is the exact void the Dodgers need to fill. I would 100% be in all – I would be in on this. Give them Diego Cartaya, give them Miguel Vargas, give them Landon Knack. I'm just name dropping guys. There are a lot of players I'm willing to sacrifice to bring those two in. The Dodgers could use a great lefty, even though they've got James Paxton, who I'm pretty big on. I think Paxton is good. We've got Kershaw coming back potentially in the second half. So I don't know what the Dodgers could do from a roster crunch standpoint. There are a lot of good arms currently. You've got Glasnow. You've got Yamamoto. You've got Bobby Miller. And then Walker Buehler coming back. That's the four. Then it's just pick your poison. I think they do need to go to a six-man rotation at some point. I am willing to throw that out there, especially if they're going to just have Yarbrough and Grove be Vaughn guys anyways. You could easily sacrifice one of those spots and give that to a six-man rotation. So two spots, you've got Gavin Stone, you've got Clayton Kershaw, you've got Emmett Sheehan maybe coming back, River Ryan potentially, or they trade for someone like Luzardo. So yes, they could fit Luzardo in. This rotation could get bolstered up. For me, the more pitching, the better. If we're having a conversation of which four starters we need to narrow it down for the postseason, then that's a good problem to have. Because last season, it was the complete opposite. It was like, who the hell is going to pitch for us in the postseason? And obviously, that did not work out. MWG, Outman and Lux, early struggles. Should we worry? I already said no. I don't think we need to worry about James Outman right now. It's way too early. With Gavin Lux, he is a natural hitter as well. So I'm willing to give him some time. But I am still concerned that the Dodgers defensively aren't set. I don't know if Mookie Betts is the answer at shortstop. I would like him preferably at second base. And Gavin Lux is going to need to show a little more power for him to be forced into this lineup, in my opinion. So let's see. Maybe Gavin Lux hits 300 the rest of the way. Then I see the argument. You got to keep him in the lineup. Maria G. So is being homegrown overrated? I don't think being homegrown is overrated. But I do think that the direction that this game is going, if you're willing to spend, I don't get the criticism, honestly, because why are other fan bases mocking a team like the Dodgers for willing to shell out money? Isn't that like any good business out there? If I'm going to a restaurant, don't I want the restaurant paying more for better ingredients so that I know I'm getting higher quality products? If I'm staying at a hotel, don't I want them to pay better worker staff salaries so that I know I'm being provided better services? If I'm going to a really good concert and I'm paying a lot of money for that, don't I want that to be a good band? So I don't get the whole mock the Dodgers because they're willing to spend money, because in capitalism, around any other form of business, usually when you spend more money on salaries, the end result's better quality. So it's just like that in baseball. Why would you mock the Dodgers for willing to pay players to bring in a more exciting experience? Because at the end of the day, baseball is supposed to just be an entertainment. So to criticize the Dodgers for wanting to bring in better superstars so that their fans can have a great experience is baffling to me. So I'm not into that. Most owners have the money too. It's not like they're all mom and pop shops. They're all billionaires and multimillionaires and all that. They all have the money. They spend it on other stupid shit. They could definitely spend it on players. So suck it to all the haters out there who criticize the Dodgers for their ways. Dodger gal, best sports podcast for fan interaction and Q&A. Props to you. Thank you, Dodgers gal. I really appreciate it. We do this for the fans. That's honestly why we do this. I don't need to hear myself talk. I want you guys to be involved. I want to hear your opinions. This is the Dodgers. I don't care where you live. We're all Dodgers fans at the end of the day, and we have one common interest, and that's this Los Angeles Dodgers team. We want them to succeed. We want them to win a World Series. We want them to entertain us for 162 games plus, and they are doing that so far. We've got Shohei Ohtani. He finally hit the home run. That was electric. We've got Teoscar Hernandez, who's looked like an absolute steal right now in free agency. He's got four home runs. And, of course, Mookie Betts, who's been with the Dodgers since 2020. Phenomenal season early on as well. Los 17s. Any concerns with Muncy's defense come the postseason? It's crazy that as bad as Max Muncy can look during the regular season defensively, as far as I can recall, his defense hasn't actually cost us any big moments in the postseason so far. I think overall he's been able to kind of just get it done. He's not going to be like a Nolan Arenado where he'll rob the opposing batters. He's not going to be a plus defender in the postseason. There might be some base knocks thrown his way that get past him because he just doesn't have the range. But yeah, I mean, for now, what I'm seeing from Max Muncy, I can live with it. I'm not excited about it. There are some flaws there, but I'm not totally concerned right now about the postseason. I do think in the regular season, though, he's going to have his hiccups. He's going to have his errors, and we're just going to have to live with it. Noisy Ninja 91, Rojas hitting better than Lux. Should they put him at shortstop and put Mookie back at second base? This is a really good question. For now, I have to say we're way too early to have this conversation, but at a certain point, we have to be realistic. And if Miguel Rojas is hitting like he is right now, and he's going to be hitting for some power, and he's going to put the ball in play, and he's hitting better than even Gavin Lux, because of Miguel Rojas's plus defensive abilities, it is a reasonable assumption and question that there is going to be a need for Miguel Rojas to be in the lineup more often. That's just how it is. And the way I look at it, Gavin Lux isn't making superstar money. He's not making Mookie Betts money. He's not making Ohtani money. He's still on a rookie deal. He's making like $1 million. So it's not going to hurt the Dodgers if they have to cut some at-bats away from him. If Miguel Rojas is hitting the way he is right now. Last season, Miguel Rojas was not a great offensive player, and that sucked because we really needed his bat. But this season, Miguel Rojas is looking much better. So it is a good question. It is definitely something to monitor. It could be a debate later on. Does Miguel Rojas need to be in the lineup every day? But for now, I think the Dodgers are doing things right. They're having him in the lineup each game against left-handed pitching. I don't know how Miguel Rojas is going to look against right-handed starters. I can't remember off the top of my head if both those home runs came off right-handed relievers. But yeah, I'm really happy with Miguel Rojas's results so far. Aaron Vaughn, does Gavin Lux still have trade value? Of course he still has trade value. For a couple of reasons I just mentioned, he's making like $1 million. So all those cheap teams out there, the cheap-ass Brewers, the cheap-ass Marlins, the cheap-ass whoever, they would love to have a salary like Gavin Lux on their books. They can figure out where to throw him in the lineup. Maybe they put him at shortstop. Maybe they stick him at second. Maybe they even transition him to a third baseman. But this is a guy that still is valued by a lot of executives because he has great contact ability. I don't know what happened to the power, but Gavin Lux naturally is a good contact hitter, is able to put the ball in play. His last healthy season in 2022, he had a pretty respectable WAR, I believe in the low threes, and a pretty good overall defensive value at second. But yeah, he would have trade value if needed. I see Maria's question, which is quite clever, and we're going to put this at the 5 to 10 minute warning. So I am calling for all your final questions before I end this stream. So thank you everyone for tuning in. Get those questions in right now. And we're going to do a rapid fire as I answer this question from Maria G. Who do we think is on roids? Oh, man. That's a really tough question to speculate because I feel like if I were to answer that, I could get into some serious trouble. I don't know who's on roids. I know that Marte of the Reds got busted for roids, and I didn't see that one coming. But yeah, I don't know who's on roids. If there's anyone that I felt like is playing in over their head, I'd have to think about that because it's really early on in the season. But someone on the Mets, that just feels like a very Mets thing for someone to be on roids. But yeah, I appreciate the question, but I can't answer that. That could get me into some trouble. I think I don't want to get sued for defamation or something, but, I appreciate the enthusiasm there. Matt Olson. That's some hot takes over there in the chat. All right. Well, give you guys a couple more minutes to get those questions in. Otherwise, I'm calling it a night. But to recap, Shohei Ohtani hit his first Dodgers home run off Taylor Rogers. That was sweet. 14 home runs already hit by this Dodgers team. We've got the Chicago Cubs coming up for a 3-game series. Kyle Hendricks, Jordan Wicks, Imanaga. I'm going to call my shot and say James Outman has a big series in Chicago. I'm thinking back to a year ago when James Altman had a huge series out there in Wrigley. I think he had a late night go-ahead grand slam to put the Dodgers on top. And that was one of the most electrifying moments early on in the 2023 season. So I'm saying James Altman goes deep. I think he has a decent series. Kyle Hendricks should be one of these guys should be a cupcake matchup for Altman. It is an early start tomorrow. I am planning to go live on the PSF app, which is a fun, interactive kind of Manning cast-like app. So I'm going to be doing some games for them this season. I do plan to do the live stream early on in the morning. Trey B, thank you. Good call. Forgot about Altman last year at the Cubs. That was James Altman is currently one of my favorite Dodgers. So I'm kind of a sicko. I remember all the good James Altman moments. Really rooting for the guy. I already own one of his jerseys. That's my guy. Been on him since, was it the 2020 spring training when he was beginning to make a name for himself? But regardless, been a big Altman guy for quite some time. Love the underdog. That might be it for questions, folks. The Shohei Ohtani home run happened. The Athletic is very weird. Sam Blum for potentially taking him out of context and making him look out of character. The fan who caught it, she said she didn't meet him, versus Ohtani, when interpreted from Will Ironton, said that he talked to the fan. There is a big difference between talked and met. I feel like the Athletic kind of ran with it and they're deceiving you. But ultimately, I do think that the Dodgers in their Will Ironton and Ohtani's court, that was interpreted correctly. I don't know why the Athletic did what they did and kind of twisted things, and they're trying to make him look like a bad character. So it feels a little shaded to me. This might be the last question because it's the last one that I see. Maria G, Kevin, who are your other sports teams you support in different sports? Well, NBA, the Los Angeles Lakers, NFL, Los Angeles Rams. Been a Rams fan since day one of the move back to Los Angeles. So I endured one terrible year and they've been good ever since. Lucky me, I guess. NHL, I don't really follow, but if I had a team, it'd be the Kings. Soccer, I like LAFC and the Galaxy. I'm kind of in between there. I really liked watching David Beckham play for the Galaxy. I thought that was cool. I think that's it for sports. I'm not really into college. I went to Long Beach State. We don't have good sports teams. And I like the Olympics, but Team USA, obviously. Quick question. Do you think the Lakers are going to make it to the eighth seed maybe? People don't like when I talk basketball, but I do think the Lakers will make it out of the play-in tournament. I think they are playing some great ball. And, of course, Noisy Ninja 91 is right. The second Ohtani became a Dodger, people started hating him. Haters are going to hate, unfortunately. And that is the case once again. If Shohei Ohtani, who went to the Giants, if Shohei Ohtani went to the Giants, everyone would be on their knees rooting for him and the Giants because it's always hate LA. But no, we got Ohtani in the Dodgers. And of course, it is freaking sweet that his first Dodgers home run came at the expense of the San Francisco Giants. So remember that. Ohtani's first Dodgers home run was against the Giants. That is some legendary, that is legendary stuff. New York people, like I see Suka saying, the Mets, the Yankees, they wanted Ohtani out of New York. Never was going to happen. Ohtani was never going to be an East Coaster. West Coast is the best coast. I'm going to live on that hill. Good show tonight, Kevin. Thank you so much, Trey B. I think this is a good place to end this week's episode of the Inclined Dodgers podcast. We'll be back Sunday or Monday to recap this Cubs series and whatever else the Dodgers seem to get into. Baseball has been really fun so far in the year 2024, I must say. All right, that's the stream, everyone. Good night. Go Dodgers. I am peacing out.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.